And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go now to Bethlehem and see these things that have taken place, which the Lord has made known to us. So they ran with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them.
Oh, you can turn that off. I cannot see anybody. Please turn that light off. We were assured that the candles you're holding would last for 2 hours. That doesn't seem to be the case. So I suggest you extinguish your candles. We will relight them at the proper time. And again, if someone could extinguish those, thank you very much. Let's pray. Almighty God, on this silent night, we pause and ask that you would speak to us through your word, and that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we would leave this place with a clear understanding of how much you love us, how much you have planned for us. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Has everyone had a pretty good Christmas Eve so far? Yes. How many people have got to open some presents? Hardly any hands. How many of you have had a wonderful Christmas Eve dinner? Oh, almost every hand. Except for poor Pastor May and Pastor Greg and Forrest and Mike on the trumpet, we've been working all Christmas Eve. Complain, complain, complain. You've been off, we've been on. So I feel very much today like a shepherd. In 1996, I had a chance to visit Bethlehem, and I saw for what was unfortunately one of the last times, shepherds. Shepherds had been watching their sheep around Bethlehem until around 1996. And for political and economic reasons, there is no more shepherding going on in Bethlehem. But that first night, this Christmas Eve we celebrate, the shepherds were watching their flocks at night. And they were the people who had to work. The town was packed. Now, there is good news. Bethlehem today is making a comeback. And unemployment rates are down now to 23%, which is phenomenal because it's been up over 60%. And tonight, for the first time in many years, every single hotel room in Bethlehem is sold out. Well, that's how it was at this first Christmas, because people had come to Bethlehem to pay tax. But out in the countryside, there were shepherds. And then something extraordinary happened. While they were watching their flocks, the angel of the Lord appeared to them. Now, I won't ask for a show of hands, but I run into all sorts of people who don't believe in angels. But I run into more people who do. But even if in theory we believe in angels, I think we would be unprepared to come face to face with the angel of the Lord. And the text we heard read said they were terrified. They were petrified. They were not theologians. They were not scribes or priests. They were blue-collar workers. And suddenly they came face to face with an angel. And the angel told them, "Do not be afraid." Those of you who have come here often probably tire of me saying that the Bible contains that phrase, "Be not afraid, do not be afraid," 365 times. A "be not afraid" a day will keep the devil away. In these fearful times, and friends, let's be honest, all of us are living lives in fear. We need to hear the voice of the angel, "Be not afraid." And the angel said, "I have a message of great joy. For today, in the city of David, a Messiah, a Savior, a Christ has been born. Do not be afraid. God has sent His chosen one." A number of years ago in the United States, a woman's house caught on fire, and she called the police. In the United States, you call 911, but at that time, the technology was not such that they could track where she was calling from. And the dispatcher said, "Okay, we'll call the fire department. How do we get there?" And the woman said, "Well, I assume by fire truck." I'm sorry. But how does God save His people? By what vehicle will God choose to bring all these marvelous promises we heard early read to us true? He chose to send His Son as a little baby. And that's what the angel of the Lord said. They're stunned by this amazing apparition. And He says, "You're going to find this baby in a manger." How many of you have ever been in a barn? Okay, just a few hands. Don't go there. I have a friend who's a dairy farmer in Wisconsin, and this summer I went to his barn, and boy, did it smell. It was really a nasty place. And being a religious person, I was thinking, this isn't the sort of place where the Savior of the world should be born. A little baby. We had a drama put on at the 6 o'clock service, and they had a little baby Jesus doll. And in the midst of the play, the kids were throwing it back and forth. And there was a gasp from the congregation, because that's not the way you treat a baby Jesus. Fox News reported that there are now a number of baby Jesus dolls that have to have GPS systems built in. And last year in Wellington, Florida, the baby Jesus, beautiful ceramic, $1,500 US baby Jesus was stolen, but it was found because the 18-year-old thief did not realize that there was a GPS on it. Some of you have seen Talladega Nights with Will Ferrell. Baby Jesus appears in this movie in a rather disconcerting way. Will Ferrell plays a race car driver by the name of Randy Bobby. And this is the way Randy Bobby prays, Ricky Bobby. "Dear tiny baby Jesus, in your tiny baby crib, with your tiny little hands and feet, watching your tiny little Einstein baby development videos, use your tiny little superpowers to keep me winning on the racetrack. Amen." Oh, you didn't expect to hear that on a Christmas Eve service, did you? But his wife, who was a little more intelligent than Ricky Bobby, responded, You know, I don't think you're supposed to pray to the little baby Jesus because he grew up and became a man. I think you're supposed to pray to the grown-up Jesus. But Ricky Bobby says, I don't want to pray to that Jesus. I like praying to the little baby Jesus because it makes me feel good just thinking about him being a little tiny infant. So when you're praying, you can pray to the grown-up Jesus or the teenage Jesus or the bearded Jesus or whomever you want to. But I like Christmas Jesus. I like a cuddly little baby Jesus. I'm going to pray to him. I don't want to insult your faith, but some of us have a baby Jesus faith. We think of the little baby in the manger, but we forget something. That God in all his love and humility chose to express his humanity in a little baby. But Jesus was far more than a baby. Because no sooner had the angels said, go to this baby in a manger, then the heavens were filled with the glory of God, a host, a multitude of angels. Now, I conducted a little semi-scientific experiment this week, and I asked several people, can you define glory for me? And my sad conclusion is that most of us have very few glimpses of glory in our lives. It's hard even to define the term. Glory, the Hebrew word, is kabod. We know it better as ichabod, without glory. But glory is the presence of God. And just think back for a minute. Has there been a time in your life when you've experienced the overwhelming glory and presence of God? Because that was the message of the angels that we sang so beautifully just a few minutes ago. Glory to God. And then what was the rest of the anthem? And peace to those whom God favors. Peace, not in the absence of conflict, but in the restoration of relationships, wholeness. How many of you have sent out Christmas letters? Not Christmas cards, I mean Christmas letters. Please raise your hands. How many of you have received Christmas letters this year? You know, I'm getting more by computer than by mail now. Well, I received an email from a friend of mine who was complaining about the Christmas letters that he gets. And he summarized them like this. Joe got a promotion. The twins got accepted at Harvard and Oxford with full scholarships. We moved to the largest flat in the city. And I get more beautiful every day by the mysteries of Botox. Now, that might be a slight exaggeration, but we tend to use these Christmas letters to brag about just how well we are doing. But my friend had his marriage of 20 years break up, and he didn't feel like sending out a traditional Christmas letter. He bled all over this page with an authentic sense that he is a broken person. And without blaming his spouse, he says, sin must be paid for. We made some mistakes. There are people out here who have lost their jobs. There are people with us tonight who have lost loved ones. I was talking with one person. I said, won't you please come to one of our Christmas Eve services? And this person said, no, because everyone is so happy and perfect. Look at the person next to you. Are they happy and perfect? Why, yes. But if we could look just a little deeper, I think we'd find out that there's some brokenness, there's some hurt, there's some sin. And no matter how great our Christmas letters sound, down deep, We are in desperate need of peace, of restoration with God and with each other. And that was the angel anthem. Glory to God, the presence of God, God with us, and peace. And then the angels went back to the heavens, and the shepherds pondered for just a little while what to do. And then they said, let's take the angel of God at his word, and let's go try to find this baby. And they found him just as the angel told them they would find him. And they were amazed and filled with joy. Joy, glory, peace. That's the message that God in Christ brings to us. And then the angels went and told about Jesus. Yesterday, Rick Riley in ESPN magazine had a column called "They Played the Oddest Game in High School Football History Last Month Down in Grapevine, Texas." Now, for those of you who aren't fans of American football, please humor me for just a few minutes, because this really was an extraordinary game. It was the Grapevine Faith Academy against the Gainesville State School, and everything about it was upside down. For instance, when Gainesville came out to take the field, the Faith fans made a 40-year spirit line for them to run through. The other team's fans were cheering for the Gainesville team. They even made a banner for players to crash through at the end. Go Tornadoes! Which was weird, because Faith Academy was mascot was the Lions. More than 200 Faith fans sat on the Gainesville side and kept cheering the Gainesville players on by name. I never in my life thought I'd hear people cheering us for us to hit their kids, recalls Gainesville quarterback and middle linebacker Isaiah. I wouldn't expect another parent to tell somebody to hit their kids, but they wanted us to. And even though Faith walloped them 33-14, the Gainesville kids were so happy that after the game, they gave head coach Mark Williams a sideline squirt bottle shower, the first Gatorade bath in history for an 0-9 coach. But then you saw 12 uniformed officers escorting the 14 Gainesville players off the field, handcuffs ready in their back pockets, and marched them to the team bus. That's because Gainesville is a maximum security correctional facility 75 miles north of Dallas, Texas. It all started when Faith's head coach Chris Hogan wanted to do something kind for the Gainesville team. Faith has 70 kids, 11 coaches, the latest equipment, and involved parents. Gainesville has a lot of kids with convictions for drugs, assault, and robbery, many of whom have families that have disowned them, wearing 7-year-old shoulder pads and ancient helmets. So Hogan had this idea: what if half of our fans, for one night only, cheered for the other team? To make them think you are just as valuable as any other person on planet Earth. These juvenile delinquents were overwhelmed by a cheering section. They kept turning around. They'd never had anybody cheer for them. They even had cheerleaders. After the game, both teams gathered in the middle of the field to pray. And that's when Isaiah, the convict kid, surprised everyone by asking to lead in prayer. I ask you, would you have allowed him to pray? We had no idea what the kid was going to say, but this was his prayer. Lord, I don't know how this happened, so I don't know how to say thank you, but But I never would have known there were so many people in the world that cared for us. It was a good thing that everyone's head was bowed because they might have seen the tears. As the tornadoes walked back to their bus under guard, they each were handed a bag for the ride home, a burger, some fries, a soda, and some candy, a Bible, and an encouraging letter from a faith player. The Gainesville coach said, "You'll never know what your people did for these kids tonight. You'll never, ever know." And as the bus pulled away, all the Gainesville players crammed to one side and pressed their hands to the window, staring at this people they'd never met before, watching their waves and smiles disappearing into the night. Anyway, with the economy 6 feet under and Christmas running on about 3.5 reindeer, it's nice to know that one of the best presents you can give is still absolutely free. Hope, joy, glory, peace, hope. These are the things the angels were singing about. And these nondescript shepherds suddenly had a cheering section saying, "Yes, you matter. You matter so much that God sent His only Son to knock on your door. And all you have to do is open it." In a few minutes, we're going to sing some songs and walk out into the darkness. But as you do, my prayer is that you will open your hearts and minds so that you can experience God's glory, God's presence. Howard Thurman, an African-American pastor, writes, "There must always remain in every life some place for the singing of the angels, some place for that which in itself is breathless and beautiful. Old burdens become lighter. Deep and ancient wounds lose much of their old hurting. Despite all the crassness of life, all the hardness and harsh discords, life is saved by the singing of the angels." Let's stand and let's sing.